There's a formal, more formal self-evaluation tool that you use, whether you know it or not yet. and some of you did do a self-evaluation through that, more formal kind of response process. Sabrina, I know we're way ahead of time, but are you at a place where you could? Okay, so I'm going to kick it over to Sabrina, who leads that effort. And she's going to share a little bit about that. And we might just talk a little bit about the use of that tool and how this board might want to use it in the future.
Yeah, sure. So the self-evaluation is kind of looking at that wheel, the part of the process function. It's one of the department's key performance measures. And specifically, it's a governance performance measure that was enacted by the Oregon State Legislature in 2006. 15 of those criteria that are evaluated are the standard ones that are asked of all boards and commissions. Back in 2007, when that board adopted this measure, they took extra steps with an ad hoc work group to tailor each one of those criteria into the board's kind of self-recognition to what it means to them. And that included some descriptive text to help assist in a shared understanding of each one of those criteria. That board also added an additional criteria related to public involvement and communications and a few summary questions at the end. So, looking at that, we do have in your packet last year's evaluation. It's attachment one, kind of gives the framework for it. We offer that survey to each board member to complete individually in May. And they take a look back at the prior year's performance. But one of the things we wanted to think about with this conversation was looking forward. This is an opportunity for you all as a new board to take this evaluation and help it mean something to you. So we open the survey criteria in January, and you'll see that coming through, where you can provide feedback to us on any of the tailored descriptions to help better understand what it means to you, as well as an opportunity to make it your own with any other criteria you might want to add into the survey. And then we'll take those compiled results and bring them back to you. And maybe the survey doesn't change, perhaps it does. Completely open to any of that. And that's really kind of setting the stage. And that's really what I had for kind of describing the process, but leaving that open to you as knowing it's a mechanism that is completed each year.
This has been, this is being new to this and not having done one, not having been on here long enough to have done one yet. It's a fantastic tool. And I think in general, data is king. The more we know, the more knowledge we have, the better we can be at doing what we need to be doing. And so, but sort of summing up what I feel like we sort of talked about in the last hour was, and Robin put this, I think, in really good terms of it's trust. And I think we kind of all, it's the sense I've gotten, and I share this, is that we trust each other and that we as a board have a level of trust which leads to high functioning. And I would want to make sure that we keep that. And I don't know if this is the right tool to ask that question, but I think looking back on times when the board, it sounds like, was not working as well, wanting to make sure we keep that as our North Star is important. And perhaps there's room in this for a way to try to measure that. It's a little squishy, I know. It's how do we get along? But it seems worth striving for.
You
If I
know
could
where
just
I
follow up.
go ahead, Amanda. Thank you, Jim. Just to follow up on Ben's point, which I think is excellent, it got me thinking. You know, we just spent the last I don't know, hour or so talking about values, our values as individuals, and collectively, there were some themes that came across the entire board. Having an assessment of how well we're meeting those values of accountability. You know, Chandra mentioned that. Trust, Ben just mentioned that. You know, other things that came up in our conversation, I think would be helpful. Because if we start to see any individuals feel like trust is waning or accountability is waning, or there's some other value that is being undervalued by others, that's a sign that we need to dig back in and figure things out. So I agree with Ben that data is queen or king in his case. But I think that the data need to reflect some of those values that we talked about.
I was going to say, you know, where I see the value in this, one is it just, you know, as you quickly go through this, you were reminded of all these different responsibilities and that we have. So once a year, at minimum on some of these, is just to, oh, yeah, I need to be reminded and think about, are we doing this and that? So, you know, it's a fairly long list of that. I think there's a value in just reading those questions each time. Once it's done, I think the value in it really is more as an exception report. And that is, you know, the only thing I'm really going to look at is where's their disagreement? Where's their, you know, if everybody is strongly or agreeing on a question, you know, I'll pass right that by, but I'll look at anywhere there's a disagreement and anywhere where there's a comment. I think that's valuable. Beyond that, that's just where I would want to focus.
Hey, Jim, that actually gets a question I had about, you know, how we take the information that we get from this and apply it going forward. So if you notice an area of disagreement, or there's a process recommendation, like sometimes it's the chair should do this, or, you know, not, or whatever it is, where's the appropriate time to digest and then talk about whether or not what we're seeing on this warrants any sort of action or change? Is that at the retreat?
I think that might be right now.
Well, I know. Well, and I feel a little odd because, you know, clearly, as Ben said, we didn't fill any of this out. And so we're just
right
to see how other people reflected, but there's some suggestions and whatnot, right, in here. And
is there anything that stands out to you, Chandra, just specific to
here? I mean, some of it, I think, gets to what we were talking about before in terms of accountability in our substance wheel, right? In terms of the, not our substance wheel, whatever, I'm sorry, our chart. The board chair needs to set agendas and they need to lead us in a timely manner to real improvements in forest management. You know, to me, that is suggesting that, you know, that substance circle is where we need to talk about how are we indicating that we're making progress, right? Mm-hmm. And that we're not just wasting time. How are we communicating that? And I think that's probably one of the things we'll talk about later anyway. And then also up here, too much focus on process, not enough on actions. You know, you're just getting a little bit of a sense that folks maybe felt like we were spinning wheels a little bit. I don't know. Lack of trust. So again, some of the principles that we talked about, seems like basic principles of respect. It seems like those we've all committed to and we're, I think we're heading on the right track, but some of the other things more in the substance category is what strikes me that, you know, a little too much process, maybe not as much communicating as to how we're moving the needle. Mm. So that's just what struck me, I guess. And the other thing I was wondering as well, as Brenda and Ben were talking, I think those were really great suggestions about, you know, trying to think about the values that we're articulating for the board and thinking of ways that we can track progress on that. And I just wonder, is there an opportunity at any point for this sort of agenda item to go to the to public as well to kind of hear their feedback on our performance. And maybe that's dangerous to do, but, you know, do they feel like we're offering enough opportunity for input, or, you know, just in terms of process and the values that we've articulated, like, you know, are there suggestions out there in the public space for how we could be better achieving our values or better improving process outcomes or whatever it is? I just can't recall if there was ever a standing agenda item for that, or if we just kind of anticipate if folks have that feedback, we'll hear it throughout the course of the year in the open agenda item.
Sure. I'd like to speak just a little bit to the timeline on the process side of it. After the board completes the evaluation in May individually, that summary that you're looking at here as attachment one also goes into the board packet in July. And at that time, certainly, you know, there could be public comment on it that could be generated, always welcomed. And then specifically for October, this is really the time that we've set to kind of have this open space, open dialogue about ways that we can improve our work that we do with you and ensure that you're able to meet those measures and such. But, you know, I'm taking great notes on here, and I'll have to think more about, you know, the outward ask to the public and evaluating that piece. You know, as this particular evaluation is really focused on the board's self-evaluation, but that does not mean that there's not an opportunity there to assess the public sentiment in other ways.
Can I ask just a question about, you know, if you were to update this tool, for example, does it require you to do any sort of public vetting? or is this truly an internal instrument for the board to reflect? I mean, obviously it becomes part of the public record, the results, but is it something where if you were to open this back up and make some changes, would you be required to go out? And then I guess in addition to that, would there be interest of the board in a more explicit or proactive engagement with the public on this piece? And I'll start with you, Sabrina, on like, what's the requirement? And then I'll go to Chandra on what's your thought.
Sure. Onto the requirement, it all needs to occur in public form. Public meeting law would have that carried out through the public forum.
Okay.
The additional step in taking public feedback on the process as it occurs, that would be up to the interest of the board.
Okay.
So just a thought I'd like to add here is, you know, I think we all represent Oregonians, so we should have feedback from the public. And, you know, I think we should all be open to that feedback. My sense here, though, this is a one time of the year evaluation on paper. And I think the real test for a board is, I really liked where, you know, Ben and Brenda were going on kind of a summary of those values. And as we put to test, you know, all these big policies and projects we're working on, is keeping that board environment of a high level of accountability and trust and openness, measurable outcomes, intellectual honesty, strong communication, bringing the best thinking to the room. We have a lot of public comments, which I think is terrific. There's probably outside thought leaders that this board wants to hear from. And, you know, leadership and listening, no personal attacks or surprises. Are we keeping that environment at such a high level that if we think about those values and we make sure that board environment, you know, really reflects what this board wants to look like and how it wants to engage, then this is just a scorecard one time a year. I think more important than that scorecard one time a year is that we keep that open process and dialogue really healthy, because there's some heavy lifting here ahead of us, and how we interact and communicate will be the most important.
Yeah, Carla, I completely appreciate that and agree with you. And I agree that this is, you know, this is clearly geared toward board evaluation. And I think that's great. I guess I was mainly getting at, you know, we hear from the public a lot on specific agenda items. Mm-hmm. And to the extent you kind of want feedback on that broader look at transparency or accountability or, you know, the values discussion and hearing from them on whether they have noticed improvement or they're seeing red flags and they have, you know, suggestions for, you know, what we could do to make sure that all those values are being considered robustly and all that kind of stuff. You know, maybe it's worth thinking about a particular agenda that you're inviting that kind of feedback, and it might follow us doing our own evaluation also. So I don't know, it, again, half baked here, but just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I would say a couple of things regarding the invitation for more feedback. There is some feedback that's come to me after meetings because ODF staff meets with stakeholders on each side after most meetings, I believe. And so I've had Nancy share with me reactions to recent board meetings, not consistently, but that has occurred at least at that level. I guess the other, you know, feedback we would get is that if the governor did not want one of us to be reappointed, or that would certainly be feedback. but I don't know. I fear I look at our agendas throughout the year and see so many things that we have to have in these meeting agendas every year, that many of them required by statute, a lot of them are very important and a lot of them seemingly unimportant. I worry about adding more process around our performance from the public, because frankly, it's just going to be the really involved stakeholders bitching on each other's side. And I don't know that, that will be particularly useful, but that's I'm willing to bend to the thoughts of the rest of you. But that's my initial reaction.
Listen, Jim, I mean, a lot of stakeholders, they're frustrated by the slow nature of this process, and by design it is, right? I mean, and a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, the way we work and the decisions we make by intention is very slow. It's very, I mean, it takes time. I mean, this board only meets, you know, sometimes once a month, and it, you know, so, and I think that would be a lot of the frustration of the public, is just the nature of the process, you know, but I think what's important, and we talked about this, as long as we're working towards solutions and we're working towards that end, I think that's, you know, as I see it, but it is slow. And I think that would be maybe a lot of the input you might get from stakeholders is a frustration of that. So
it seems to me that the feedback you're likely to get from stakeholders will reflect the degree to which they see their needs being met. And I'm not sure that that's particularly helpful for us. I think if there is a mechanism that would allow them to evaluate how the board is functioning rather than how their needs are being met, then I think that might be useful. But I'm not quite sure what mechanism that might be. The other group that I think we need to understand well, and I think that Nancy and Jim probably do that, are the legislators. And maybe it's not a formal evaluation or a tool like Sabrina has here, but I do think we need to understand how the legislators are viewing our performance and how well we're working together toward those solutions that Joe just mentioned.
I think that makes sense, Brenda. And the other thing I just mentioned, and I think it's Robin mentioned this on a call that we had, I think part of my discomfort with a board evaluation sometimes is just on some of those value pieces and things that we're trying to accomplish, I don't necessarily feel like I always like, are we as accessible as we could be, right, as a board and to members of the public? You know, I don't necessarily know what the other ideas or mechanisms out there are to ensure that or to rate. And Robin said, you know, maybe it is bringing in other people that have thought about that, like thought about process and thought about accessibility. And that's just, I mean, that's just one of the values, right? But that you have agenda time every so often for outside expertise on some of this to make sure that our processes are as up to date as possible or as inclusive as possible or whatever it is, right? We get suggestions there. And then you're better able to rate yourself by saying, you know, we proactively did this and it seems consistent with best practices, you know, from people who have actually spent a lot of time thinking about that. So maybe that's a way to go about it. And I don't know, Robin, if I characterized that correctly from what we had talked about before, but.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I think what you're describing is just an alternative way for you all to ensure that you are doing best practices around public engagement and involvement that don't necessarily go directly to those who have specific interests in the substantive outcomes of your work. And so maybe leaning on, you know, process or public engagement experts to help you update, standardize, whatever you want to call it, your own system of engagement. That might be another route for you to do some of that exploration that doesn't necessarily require a big, massive public outreach effort on how well are we engaging you. So I want to just note a couple of things that I've heard in this conversation. One of which is, you know, I guess the way you've talked about it is kind of setting those intention and actually holding yourselves accountable to some of the values. But what I hear in that more generally is that the quality of exchange of the board is such that leads you to effective outcomes, that leads you to kind of transparent tracking, all the things that you've suggested here are important values. And I don't see that sort of quality of exchange as a marker in your self-evaluation. I see you kind of meeting your rules and there's accountability measures, of course, around you know, where your responsibilities lie and your oversight lies and all of that. But the what you're talking about this morning is really about a high quality of exchange, that you have constructive, transparent, thorough deliberations in a way that in a space that allows the richness of all the different perspectives to come into play, that intellectual honesty, if you want to call it that. But that's something that, you know, I don't see showing up on your self-evaluation, that I'm hearing is very important to you, this particular board, and that you've found that that is actually an essential to you being able to meet all of the other markers of success or performance, I guess, as it's described in this. So I want to just put a pin in that for you. We don't need to do anything with it necessarily, but it does seem like if you're using these 6-month intervals in a retreat-like setting to kind of check in on process and check in on how well you're doing relationally, this might be the space in which to kind of continue to check that. And also if you're trying to set up a paradigm, a shift in really how this board in perpetuity is working together, that it's not just this particular configuration, but if you want to set the tone for future boards, you might consider how you do that. Brenda.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. So I think that's really critical. I think we do need to revisit the that piece that you just described, because I may be incorrect here, but I don't think we've had any really tough decisions that we've had to make so far. And we're going to have some tough decisions coming up. And we're not all going to agree on those. And so I think it's going to be really important that we do come back and revisit this after we've had to make some of those tough decisions.
And I'd like to add to that, Brenda, I really agree with that. The intellectual honesty piece, you know, for I think is important here. As long as we know we've had the best, you know, the best information, the best thought leaders on the topic, we've heard all sides, and we know we're making the best decision we can with the information that we have, that's really the best we can hope for. And I think if we all just sit here and agree, we're probably going nowhere. I always felt that with our management teams. If we all sat in the room and we all agreed, we were probably not going to move very far. And sometimes it's out of disagreement that we make progress. So I think having that safe conversation where it's safe to disagree, but we all know that the best information has been brought to the table. That's what I care about. I'm going to make the best decision I possibly can. And I would expect I'm going to disagree with some of you. We all have different backgrounds and you can see the same facts differently. But I think, you know, that's why it's important to me to keep that healthy board environment every single board meeting. I can feel okay with disagreeing as long as we've made our best effort.
You know, I wanted to point out two things. One is one of the other things that wasn't said previously about how things are different from the way they were. And that is that I see all of you really making a strong effort to read the materials, which sometimes is a real tough, and sometimes the timelines are tough, and to prioritize the meetings and the pre-board meetings and all of that. And that, I got to tell you, when you got one or two or members who were consistently not doing that, and then eating up a lot of time in board meetings because they had failed to review the materials, how disheartening that was for the rest of us. So I appreciate all that. And I'm going back and looking at the questions here. And the questions are all about, does the board do this? And I don't think, maybe I'm missing it, but is there any question that says, you know, do the individual board members fulfill their basic responsibilities relative to the materials and so on, like reading? That would be better. Also, Chandra, I was just going to say with a suggestion that, you know, would there be opportunities where we could bring in people that will kind of help make sure that we're up to date with some of the best practices? Don't wait on the state forester or myself to bring those things forward. That or any other subjects, remember that each of you as board members are encouraged to, if you've got something like that that you can suggest for a board meeting, we're all ears.
Thanks for that, Jim.
So just coming back around to the utility of the self-evaluation. So you do have this tool, you know, it is open to updating on an annual basis. If you wanted to, and I'm sensitive to what you've all also acknowledged is a lot on the plate and a pretty heavy lift of work in front of you. So this is not intended to kind of add more work, but it does speak to, you know, the value of, like I think Ben, you described, as a both and. It's really good to actually have these markers that you can track and come back to. Brenda suggested it'll be important for us to kind of come back around to this conversation once we've gone through a difficult decision-making effort and just check back in. Okay, how did that go? What are the things we want to reaffirm are important for us in doing all the sort of high quality deliberation that we've described in different ways in this conversation? So I guess I want to just get some more feedback, maybe to help Sabrina thinking about, you know, is there an interest in, and you said it opens in January, Sabrina. So would they be filling this out in the spring, or when do they fill it out?
Yes, they fill it out in May.
Okay.
But they, the evaluations opened in January for individual feedback on what could be different. I think we'll also work to see what we might be able to add in even from this conversation to give you something to think about.
Okay.
And then we'll bring it back in April, right before starting the evaluation period in May. So the board adopts and accepts the final criteria.
Yeah, Brenda.
I may have missed it, and I apologize if I did, but we talked about stakeholders and legislators and others assessing, and ourselves assessing our own work. Is there an opportunity, Sabrina, for staff, ODF staff, to assess how well the board is functioning?
I think we are certainly open to finding an evaluation method that can help provide that feedback.
That might be helpful. Thank you.
I think it would be useful to help close out this topic to just run through the evaluation quickly on that sort of exception basis. Mostly it would be, we've moved past that. But if everybody's okay with that, I'd like to just kind of quickly lead us through there. And the first one would be the executive director's performance expectations are current. We had one disagree. That's past history. And I think number three is the next one where we had disagreement. Clearly, we have a plan to go ahead with the redoing the forestry program for Oregon. So I don't think there's anything. Jump in and anybody jump in here if I'm going too fast, but I don't think there's anything to discuss there.
And maybe, Jim, if you don't mind, as you're going through the specifics, could you just call out what the actual criteria is so those that are listening in can track? So the first one was number one, which is the executive director's performance expectations are current.
Right.
And you're suggesting that has been addressed.
Yes.
Addressed. Okay. And then number three was the agency's mission and high level goals are current and applicable.
Right. Board understands this to mean that the board's forestry program for Oregon and Oregon Forest Practice Act rules are current. And I think we all understand that we're about to take on an update of the forestry program for Oregon, and that things may also be changing with the possible MOU on the Oregon Forest Practices Rule. The next one was number five, where we had some disagreement. The board is appropriately involved in review of agencies' key communications. The board understands this to mean agency and board communications at a policy level versus a day-to-day operating level. And we had two that disagreed. One person saying that oftentimes communications are sent out without board review, although they may have been discussed in a board meeting. The final language was not reviewed. And the other comment was that the board should be more involved in policy communications with the legislature. That second comment might have been from me. I think our former state forester kind of generally sort of gently pushed board members away from involvement with the legislature. I don't think that's true anymore. And I don't know who made that other comment and to what degree people think that's an issue. So I'll throw that out for a conversation.
I honestly don't remember, but that first comment could have been from me, but I have not seen that situation since Nancy's been acting state forester.
Okay. So the next one was number six, the board is appropriately involved in policymaking activity. The board understands this to mean those policy activities that particularly have a statewide perspective, including holding board meetings at different geographic locations around the state. Four disagreed. Clearly, holding board meetings at different geographic locations around the state was generated a lot of that disagreement. But there are some other issues, or at least one other issues, that is brought up. And so there was a comment that the board should be an active participant in the discussions between industry and the environmental community regarding modifying policies. Example, Siskiyou rules, private lands, HCP possibilities, COVID-19 prevented, HCP, yeah. So I don't know who made that comment. I don't think there's anything to discuss about what we've had to deal with in terms of COVID and not being able to meet in other parts of the state. And I think we're all in strong agreement that we want to move in that direction when we can. But what about this comment around that we should be a more active participant in the discussions between industry and the environmental? I'm not sure who made that comment again.
Yeah, that was probably me, Jim. Again, I don't remember exactly, but it is a bit frustrating to have some things agreed upon between outside bodies brought to us for a vote, really without any input from us. And I understand that that's probably a result of lack of trust that we're going to come to an agreed upon decision that other groups would come to. But it does strike me as that the board is at a position of not at the table, being a lack of voice being a weakness in the decision-making process. So just a statement of frustration more than anything.
Okay. Other thoughts on that? Well, in that case, I'll move down to item number 9 here. The board periodically reviews key financial information and audit finding. Board understands this to mean significant financial issues, and as audits are released. Comments, we had only one person really disagreeing, even though we had such a rough period in the last couple of years on finance. So comments were that we don't review it often enough. While the board does review financial information, past history indicates that the communications review process is not adequate to prevent major problems. Another comment was this received greater attention during 2020 than previously, but oversight still could be improved. Does anybody want to have any comments on our financial oversight at this point?
I just think we're headed in a much stronger place and better place. I think that's going to sort itself out.
Yeah, and I agree. I think when we did this, we were moving in that direction. And so that question, I don't know, really, it's hard to, what really take away from that information is hard to, because we've moved the dial so significantly since then.
Okay.
Yeah. I would just second that real quick, that we're really good. I feel well taken care of with financial information right now.
All right. I'll third or fourth it too, whatever. Okay, I'm going to try to move quickly through here. The number 11, the agency adheres to accounting rules and other relevant financial controls. We had one that disagreed. The comment was that MGO report documents major deficiencies that need to be corrected. I don't believe there's anything here since that process is ongoing for us to have a conversation about. And then moving on, the next one that we had some disagreement about was number 14. The board members identify and attend appropriate training session. The board understands this to mean the workshops, symposia, and field tours that accompany some board meetings and the board receives adequate technical information. And somebody said this has been true generally, however, the COVID year condition inhibited availability of and participate in training sessions. Obviously that's true. Short of COVID, does anybody think that there's any issues relative to number 14? Hearing none, I think we're done. Thank you for your patience to run through that, but felt it was necessary.
Thanks, Jim. Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah, just wanted to ask Sabrina, was this helpful? Is there more that we could do to help you moving forward?
This has been really helpful. I got a lot of great feedback. And I think when looking at some of that feedback and perhaps a way to start might be, you know, in one of those summary questions at the end, that's kind of where my mind is going with perhaps a way to get some of that more open feedback that has been really valuable in the past too. And then taking it beyond the specific criteria and a measurement, but really allowing kind of the more open dialogue, in a paper form, but still the recognition and comments to how is the board doing, you know, what factors are affecting the results, what can be done to improve. I think as I've been listening to several of the comments, I'm thinking that might be maybe a starting place. To see how that might work to capture your thoughts on the effectiveness and the quality of the conversations that have been occurring. I think that might be a route to go. So it's been very valuable though.
One of the thoughts that struck me, Brenda said something, when we face tough decisions, can create environments that relationships can be strained. I mean, it's just the nature of it, right? And I wonder if almost like an evaluation after we faced a tough decision, I don't know, I'm just talking out loud here, but there you can, the nature of that, we get into situations where relationships can begin to be strained because we're in a tough place. And do people feel heard? Do people feel, you know, at the end of all of that, to make sure that we can, you know, repair that strained relationship if it needs to be. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I'm being real trying to help you how this goes into an evaluation, but I've faced that before. We have tough decisions can strain relationships, and, you know, an understanding at the end of all of it, you know, how did we do through that process? Did everybody feel heard and understood and so on. I don't know. It's my start off.
I think that's an excellent point, Joe. And I'm not sure that, and maybe that's Jim, maybe that's all of us checking in with each other following these difficult decisions. But I think you're absolutely right on. And the sooner that we address it after a tough decision, the better.
Yeah, offer a go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to say those are really good thoughts, you know, and because I think we all do sort of, we knew the way the schedule was with the new board members, it didn't look like we were going to face anything real tough right away, but we all know that this is, those are in our future, and to be thinking about those relationships and making sure we survive those in a healthy way. Appreciate the comments.
I just wanted to fall back on what you just said, Joe. I had taken some notes during the discussion here around, you know, really what is more this formal self-evaluation and the criteria there versus almost in a sense the what I feel like I'm hearing from the board is more of the self-evaluation really focused around those three pillars. And process being one of those in terms of group effectiveness. there's a link to this in my mind related to the Board of Forestry work plans, which we're going to spend a lot of time tomorrow talking about. But this notion of review or self-evaluation, I'm encouraged by the conversation. And I think Joe's point in particular is something that we, in terms of the department, and primarily driven by the culture of incident management, is that we routinely do after-action reviews. And so even following the board meetings, we've already have a scheduled meeting that is an after-action review. And so as you talk about your decisions, I would personally really encourage that. I think that would be extremely healthy as the board completes and makes a decision. You essentially wrap up a major strategic initiative. You make a decision and you seem to already take space, you know, on your agendas right now. I think the notion of more frequent, you know, reviews and self-evaluation of, are we following our plan? And if not, you know, what do we need to do better at, right? Or, you know, that check-in in terms of the relationship piece that you've described. I think that would be also very, you know, it would be super transparent and visible to the public. Anyway, I hope we can tie this all together, you know, through the rest of the day and tomorrow when we get into the work plans. Because fundamentally, in my observations over the years, when the board historically has a very challenging decision to make, what typically happens is that board work plans, timelines get pushed out because there's so much pressure to make a decision that typically board members at some point decide they need more information. And when more information is necessary, it begins to push those timelines out and puts more pressure even on the board and the department. So part of that too is following, are you following your plan and are you making the decisions and moving on? So exciting conversation to continue, I think.
Nancy, can I add to that? You know, a lot of the things we're dealing with are big decisions that other groups couldn't agree on. And, you know, just the WUI definition right now comes to mind is, you know, a lot of conflict where others couldn't agree. And I think that in addition to the board process and our evaluation on the back end of keeping that process healthy, really checking ourselves on the front end of these and making sure we have the information that's going to be needed to keep ourselves on, you know, trying to hit these work plans and deadlines. And I know, you know, as it relates to a lot of these programs, I'm probably one asking for that bigger picture or more information on the front end. And so we know we've got a broad enough view that we're putting our decision in the right context. And I think that's important on the front end, so we don't get this ongoing drag.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think that's, you know, as you all between now, you know, really tomorrow around the board work plan, and then really the discussions that will follow as the executive team leaders bring those work plans with a lot more content, a lot more background, a lot more timelines, that's going to be, you know, I imagine that will be a healthy discussion that should assure that you have the ability to get up front what you think you need.
All right, so any other suggestions by way of the formal self-evaluation tool or some of the ways in which you can build in that sort of checks both proactively and as a debrief mechanism when you have big, you know, thorny decisions that you have to make and you engage in that. Any other suggestions that you haven't heard today that you want us to make sure we're carrying forward? Okay, So I think we have a lot to go with. Sabrina, do you? Okay, so Sabrina's got a lot to go with. I think just in some of my debriefing on this, I can talk with Nancy and others about ways that you might build in even already into your existing processes. You all do a ton of like board one-on-ones and pre-board conversations before each of the meetings. So there's sort of built-in opportunities, I think, already that don't necessarily require you to add. I think someone had a concern about adding another layer of process. So there, you know, I think we can really think through how to best really just almost seamlessly integrate this into, but more intentionally integrate the kind of the checks on the three pillars for the board ongoing. So I just appreciate the rich conversation around this. And I think, you know, kudos to all of you that you've all leaned into this notion of being a healthy board and having healthy relationships amidst the challenges of not really being able to connect to, you know, more deeply as you would want to with your fellow board members because of the required distance that we're all experiencing right now.